Hi, I'm Mike Webb. Welcome to the ProPublica podcast. We recently teamed up with Time Magazine to investigate temp towns, neighborhoods across the U.S. where it's become nearly impossible to find factory and warehouse work without first being directed to a temp agency. Reporter Michael Graybell found that companies have benefited tremendously from this temp system. It grants them a flexible workforce while insulating companies from workers' compensation claims and unemployment taxes, even the duty to ensure workers are citizens or legal. The workers, on the other hand, suffer high injury rates and endure hours of unpaid waiting time and fees that push their pay below minimum wage. Our editor-in-chief, Steve Engelberg, sat down with Graybell in our storage closet studio on Friday, June 28th, for more on this story.
So, Michael, tell us a little bit about how you got onto the subject of temporary workers. Where did this story begin?
Well, the story began back when we were covering the stimulus, when we started hearing stories more and more of workers who, if they were getting jobs, were returning to the workforce in these contingent and temp situations. And this started me wanting to figure out a way to get into this and look at some of the research on temp workers. And eventually we found our way to Chicago and met some of these workers who were experiencing these terrible situations where they were being, you know, packed into vans, as one person said, as like herd animals, and being sent to work not for a random contractor, but for places ultimately serving Walmart and Macy's and some other big name companies.
So what kind of salaries does a temp worker tend to earn in today's economy?
So a lot of temp workers are making minimum wage, and if they're not, they're making low wages. When we looked at the numbers, there was about 840,000 to a million who were making less than $25,000 a year. But there's a lot of temp workers who don't even make the minimum wage because these temp agencies will charge them fees for transportation or in some cases even to apply for the job. You know, one other thing I'd point out on how much they make, oftentimes they cannot find work all year long. So you might have someone like Rosa Ramirez, who is the main person in our story, who makes about $7,000 a year.
Isn't it against the law to, in essence, pay someone less than the minimum wage?
It is. However, states have various laws about whether fees are allowed. In the case of Illinois, these fees were not allowed to bring a worker's pay under minimum wage. But in most states, temp agencies can charge for transportation and can charge for equipment and other various things that would bring their pay below minimum wage.
Now, of course, none of these people have any kind of health benefits or anything else, right?
That's right. Temp workers rarely get health benefits. They rarely have any sort of 401k or retirement plans that we enjoy. The stats are pretty stunning when you look at it. The percentage of temp workers who have health insurance from their employer is 8% compared to 56% of us overall.
Well, let's talk about the companies that are doing this. I mean, it does sound pretty obviously like it's a good deal for them. So, I mean, talk a little bit about why it's a good deal. Why would a company like a Walmart or a Frito-Lay or a Macy's want to hire all these temporary workers? What's in it for them?
They don't become the employer. They take away the relationship that you would have and the responsibilities, both legally and in some cases morally, with your customers if you were the employer. In a lot of these cases, there's two or three levels between you and the worker. So as the host company, by hiring a temp agency, you don't have to worry about your own workers' comp premiums going up, because that's on the temp agency. You don't have to worry about your unemployment taxes with the state going up, because that's with the temp agency. And you don't have the responsibility to check whether or not someone is legal or not, because that's with the temp agency. So even if it's your policy to run everybody through E-Verify, you know, that's in the news right now with immigration, when you hire a temp agency, they often don't require that the temp agency uses E-Verify so they can get around it that way.
Well, it sounds a lot kind of like outsourcing.
It is a lot like outsourcing.
Same kind of advantages.
Same kind of advantages. It's just another way of doing it. And with the temp arrangement, you know, with outsourcing, you sometimes end up with contract employees who do get benefits or do work for a larger firm. With the temp agencies, it's even more precarious because it's a day-by-day situation.
So what happens to one of these workers if, I don't know, they want to, let's say, join a union? I mean, because that's the sort of classical response in America to kind of tough working conditions, is that people, anyway, used to unionize. What happens now?
Temp agencies are in many ways, it's a lot harder for them to join a union than it is for a regular worker. There are several laws that several rules that temp agencies have that are different from most employers. One of them is with regard to unions. Temp workers because of a ruling by the National Labor Relations Board in 2004, do not have the right to join with permanent workers at their host company to collective bargain to make their conditions better unless they get approval from both the host company and the temp agency.
That ever happened?
Not that I'm aware of.
Now, you interviewed, I'm sure, both economists and spokesmen for these companies. Do the companies see any downside to this? I mean, does this hurt their reputation? Is there any real downside to treating workers like this from the perspective of a company trying to make as much money as possible?
It only hurts their reputation when people, like journalists, find out about it and make the connections and that these people aren't just working for a temp agency. One of the things that I think is surprising is if you were to drive down in New Brunswick, New Jersey, or Little Village in Chicago, or in parts of Boston, and see these workers waiting on the street corner, you might just assume that they are day laborers on their own will trying to seek work from a passing contractor, this sort of Home Depot situation. This is not the situation. They have oftentimes been told to wait at this corner, to come to this hiring hall, to get a job. And when you make the connections, you find out that they are either going to work at a major American company, like in a previous story we saw Tie Incorporated, one of the biggest makers of stuffed animals, or they're going to work for a contract firm that is serving Walmart and Frito-Lay and Macy's and these other big firms.
Now, you actually went to Chicago and sort of had the experience of following several of these workers sort of step by step. Tell us a little bit about what the day is like. How does it work?
The temp workers often get up around 3 in the morning, 3:15, to get ready for work. They have to arrive at the temp agencies around 4:30 to get an early spot on the list. They don't show up early. They've often had comments of, I guess you don't really care about the job then. So they show up around by 4:30 and they wait for maybe an hour, and then the temp agencies will start calling them. You know, all of a sudden somebody at this temp agency specifically where I was waiting with Rosa Ramirez, all of a sudden a voice came from the back of the room where they'd start calling people out to work. And it was almost like a game show of who got picked. And the workers were kind of hustle along out into the cold to wait for a school bus to show up that would be taking them to the Norelco factory to pack shavers.
And so, okay, so when does the workday actually start? When does the paid workday start?
So the paid workday actually starts at 6 a.m. a couple hours later once you get to the factory or warehouse and get to the assembly line.
Okay, so then you work maybe, what, 8 hours, something like that?
Yeah, a typical workday, 8.5 hours.
And then you have to still pay out of whatever they pay you, which I presume is minimum wage. Out of that, you pay the person who gave you the ride. And how much is that a day?
It's about $8 a day, $7 in New Jersey.
So essentially, it's a 12-hour day for less than 8.5 hours of minimum wage.
Right. And we found in a previous story we did about these raiteros who operate in Little Village, Chicago, the pay that people were getting was about $5.98 an hour.
Now, just to explain for our listeners, raitero is a kind of invented Spanish word. What does it mean?
It means the person who gives you the ride.
Raitero.
So in this case, though, the raiteros were doing a lot more than that. They were almost labor brokers and the only contact that these people had to the job.
Well, let's talk a little bit about solutions or sort of how this might be addressed. You mentioned that some states have laws against this, some states don't. But I thought that the wage and hours was a federal thing. What is the federal government doing about all this?
So wage and hour is both federal and state. It can be enforced. So the way that typically they've looked at this is that that temp workers don't need special laws that we can just put in place. If they're not being paid minimum wage, we can go after the temp agency for that. And ultimately, the temp agency isn't the driver of these situations. It's the host company who is rarely added in as someone who's caused wrong here. One of the things that interested me most about this story is that before the 1950s, there were laws that require temp agencies or employment agencies, as they were called at the time, to register with the state and post bond so that if people didn't get paid or people were taken advantage of, there was money to compensate people. And there was checks and balances to make sure that the temp agency didn't just go bankrupt the next day and take everybody's jobs and money with them.
So what happened to those laws?
So those laws got lobbied against and repealed by the lobbying activity of temp agencies that sort of popped up in the 1950s to serve office workers. And you might remember these terms like Kelly girl and the white glove girl from Manpower, who would be in the typing pool of an office. They convinced state legislatures that this was totally different from the labor sharks that back in the 50s people were more familiar with, of taking advantage of European immigrants coming off the boat. What we see now is a return a lot to this kind of temp work, more industrial, more blue collar, and the same situations are coming up again. But because those laws are no longer in the books, there's nothing special protecting them from the abuses that we tried to stop 100 years ago.
Well, that's remarkable. Now, in terms of the economic recovery that we're seeing, how does this trend that you're writing about figure in? Because we do see the phenomenon of more and more people being hired. The unemployment rate is falling, not rapidly, but still at some level. And we're trying to understand, why do people feel so crummy? I mean, does this trend play into it?
It plays into it a big part. A lot of the new jobs that have been created have been temp jobs or part-time jobs or other kinds of low-wage jobs. When we looked at it, temp work was actually coming back 10 times faster than the regular economy. And economists think this is going to be the big part of the future growth, regardless if it's a recovery or if we get stable again.
So in other words, companies that had laid people off or had cut employment during the recession are now bringing people back on as temps.
Right.
And
new companies are bringing people on as temps.
Because this works so well.
Right.
Well, Michael, thank you very much. That's quite something you've uncovered here, and we look forward to seeing your future stories on this subject.
Thank you.
That was Steve Engelberg and Michael Graybell. To read his investigation, visit ProPublica.org/templand. For ProPublica, I'm Mike Webb. We'll catch you next time.